ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, Corbin Middlemass here. What's going on with the cricket? Well, that's what the ABC Cricket Podcast is for, with me and my sparring partner, Ed Cowan. Who's been selected?
You got another 100 during the week.
Who's been rejected?
So if he's not fit enough.
And who has the best grade cricket salad roll?
What was the key? The quality of the cheese or the bun?
The bun was always fresh, or the salad inside nice and soft.
Search for the ABC Cricket Podcast on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jules, unusually this week, I'm going to start with a pick of the week. I was saving this story to tell you, and I think we decided between ourselves this is too good to save for an end of show. So I'm going to start the show with it this week.
Yep.
So there was this woman who drove 3 hours in the US to confront a racist troll who'd left a bitter comment under one of her posts.
What was the comment?
So she goes by the name of The Villain You Made on TikTok. She's since locked down her account a bit. It was public. So she's a black woman in the US. She posted this thing on TikTok. And it starts with her getting out of her car, looking for a building, and says, oh, I hope I'm in the right place. I'm going to play you a little section of this because
great.
It's
great.
Unreal.
Hello. I'm looking for a mic. Does the mic work here?
Yeah.
Can I speak to him?
Sure. What's this about?
Are you Mike? Can I step aside? It's cold.
Sure.
Thank you. How you doing? Nice. So
she's
a couple days ago, you left a comment under somebody. Yeah, under somebody's comment section. Do you remember that by any chance?
Not really.
It was regarding Tennessee District 7.
Yeah. So a bit of backstory here. This is a local district in Tennessee, which has just had a local election that was won by a Trump-backed Republican. His name is Matt Van Epps. And what's significant about this is what we're seeing right around the United States right now. The congressional boundaries are being redrawn to favor Republicans.
Except in California, where
except in California, where it's going the other way.
Yeah.
So this is what we call gerrymandering, right? You redraw the boundaries to kind of favor your own candidate.
Yeah.
So Matt Van Epps won that election, but only just. So Democrats are actually taking hope that even with the gerrymandering, the Republicans have only just scraped through with the backing of a very unpopular president. Anyway, The Villain You Made, this woman, goes on TikTok and she she writes some comment about the election result. We don't know what it was. Mike seems to have responded to that post by writing a comment about black people. He uses the N-word and he says he already has black fatigue, is what he called it, and that black people are always whining.
Poor Mike.
Poor Mike.
Yeah.
So this woman goes, so you don't know me and I don't know you, but I was that person you commented under. And so she says, you see how easy I found you? It's not cool, right? So I'm going to give you the opportunity to apologize, or I'm going to show your wife the Grindr account I found. How do you feel about that? So Grindr, for anyone who doesn't know, is basically a gay men's hookup app.
Mm-hmm.
She then produces a pre-written letter out of her pocket. It's an apology for him to read back to her.
She's amazing.
I just wanted you to know, you see how easy I found you? It's not cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to give you the opportunity and apologize, or I'm going to show your wife the ground that account I found. How do you feel about that?
Oh, not good.
Right? It's crazy. Crazy world out here. So I did make this apology.
Not good.
You know, you don't have to. I understand it's hard, but all you have to do is read this nice little apology I wrote. Go ahead.
Mike, do apologize for my actions.
Uh-huh.
And I see the consequences of my actions.
Sure do, on my doorstep.
Say it louder.
I will not do this to anyone else ever again.
Oh, good job, Mike. It was really nice.
It was really nice meeting you. Speak up, Mike.
A little louder. Can't hear you.
So she is an internet hero now because she's served it up. She drove 3 hours to confront a troll, and I cannot tell you how many times I've been tempted to do the same thing.
But it was so beautifully executed.
Yeah.
She did the research. She found the Grindr profile.
Don't mess around.
She, you know, worked out where to drive to find him, and she handwrote an apology, but she just happened having her back. And she nailed it. And Mike is still wondering what hit him, I suspect.
I would highly recommend not doing this to anyone listening to this and considering doing the same. There are a lot of safety implications of doing something like this, right? So I'm laughing about it and I'm kind of applauding this woman's effort. But I would say if you're tempted to do the same, maybe kind of think twice about it because it could get dangerous.
It might not go so well.
But this is impressive. Mm-hmm. Impressive. I mean, you must have experienced trolling quite a bit in your public life.
I don't think I would drive 3 hours.
Where's your motivation,
Jules? She was really fired up. But yeah, no, totally. There's times you want to go, mate, would you just say this to my face? Would you actually say that to my face? Or just go, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, why? Why spend all this time just spewing out hate? You know, there have been people, it was actually a bit of a trope for a while. People would go and confront their trolls. I don't think we've seen it for a while, but Lindy West is someone who did it. She's an American writer, comedian, activist. As a feminist, she's always been a target, constant harassment and trolling. And there was awful things. Someone created a fake Twitter account with a photo of her dad. He had just died of cancer like 18 months earlier. And was trolling her from it, and she kind of didn't know what to do. So she posted about it online and said this had really hurt her. And then the troller contacted her and apologized. And they did this interview for This American Life at some point afterwards. And it's kind of pretty unusual. She was saying it's the first time ever that a troll's kind of done that. But I do think we shouldn't entirely give up on the idea that people sometimes think they're shouting into a void, and sometimes you can go, hang on a minute, mate.
It's not a
real
void.
Human here.
Yeah, be a member
and
of
this
society.
This is devastating to me. Yeah. And every now and then that might twig some, you know, something in someone. But there was another story recently about a guy called Leo Trainer, and he had been trolled horribly when he'd gone through a period of bad health. He and his wife, and the trolling actually turned up in his real world. So he got parcels at his home address that had like, there was a Tupperware lunchbox inside. It was full of ashes. Say hello to your relatives
from
Auschwitz.
This is the thing. It's not a big leap, I reckon. This is where it begins.
That's the thing. It does seep into your life. That's exactly right. Then there was a bunch of dead flowers with his wife's old Twitter name on it. And there were, you know, threats. Anyway, he decides to track down who this is and discovers it is the teenage son of a friend of his. Imagine.
I've got a story like this.
What?
I discovered a friend was a troll.
Oh.
Was not only had five or six different secret accounts under different names. She was, I've got to be careful here not to identify her, but she was trolling people online.
Why?
I don't know. Like just to kind of make a point, it was quite political. I discovered she was going online and writing about me on little blogs about, you know, private kind of things to do with me that no one else knew.
Oh.
And I was sent some of this and went, hang on, there's very few people who kind of know this. You know, you triangulate and work
out
who it was. Yeah.
And did you confront her?
I didn't. The police did eventually because she was outed as a troll, having kind of gone after someone, and a few sleuths out there worked out who she was.
Yeah, wow.
Super scary stuff.
And was it mean stuff about you?
It was not mean stuff about me. It was mean stuff about other people. About me, it was just very, just disclosing things that are private. You know,
which
just kind of
mean in itself. It's a horrible feeling.
Yeah, it's super weird. And to this day, I can't work out why someone would do that. What is the payoff?
Yeah,
I just don't get it.
Do you feel that some of it's shut down for you because X Twitter is not as functional as it was?
Yeah, like, look, I got off so much of my social media. I only use a couple of accounts now, and I'm barely on them.
Yeah.
You know, there was a day, shining time in history, when Twitter was amazing.
Oh, it was glorious.
It was just amazing. And it connected with people, some of whom I'm actually
still friends with me too.
And pen pals and all that kind of thing. You know.
You could find your people, and then the others came flooding in. And there's a level of darkness there that's difficult to fathom.
Yes.
You know, I had people trolling me about being unwell.
You get
people
that a
will
lot
literally tell you they think you should die. Yeah. And when people are going through mental health things, that really becomes something that feeds into, you know.
There was one guy who wrote once, Jeremy Fernandez looks terrible on camera. He looks like he wears suits made by his Asian relatives. And I was like, no, but kind of I like my suits. I think they're good suits.
You are,
and if my relatives could make them, I think we'd all be very pleased and all very rich, actually. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite weird.
I guess it's a fundamental question. Do I give up? Do you ever give up on all of it, or do you go, no, maybe there's a fundamental thread of humanity? Maybe
there was one turning point where I called someone out, a troll, who's sort of quite a reasonably well-known public figure, and that person then received a barrage of hate.
Right.
And I had unintentionally
directed it that way.
Directed it that way and caused a pylon. And that was a lesson for me too, that, you know, sometimes responding actually magnifies the thing.
But then there was this case when Sarah Silverman, you know, American comedian, someone was trolling her and she kind of engaged with them and then ended up working out that this guy, like, had a back problem and he wasn't covered by medical insurance and he didn't have enough money to deal with it, so she raised money and actually ended up looking out for him. It was kind of a really nice case of it flipping around.
Yeah.
Are you a bit unsure about that?
What I would say is that, you know, we've all got issues and troubles. Mm-hmm. I don't think it entitles you to be a dickhead online. I just, for me, that is not a direct connection. I can understand how it happens.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's an entitlement to.
Of course not.
You know, not check yourself before you kind of go after someone else on the basis that, oh, I had a bit of pain or whatever.
Yeah.
But our colleague, Tony Armstrong, has recently done this ABC documentary called Endgame, which discusses and aims to tackle the issue of racism in sport. And he's spoken to athletes like Adam Goods and Ash Gardner. And he interviewed the Premier League Hall of Fame player Rio Ferdinand in the UK, who said, I think social media companies need to take more responsibility to put little things in place to have consequences for bad practice. And you know one thing they've done in the UK is that if a football fan is found to be not behaving appropriately online, they become banned from attending the sport, which is like...
That is so good.
Consequences, yes. Consequences.
But shouldn't there have been that with the booing?
100%, yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
What?
Yeah.
Walk off the field. That's it. It's over. It was like, it was such a shocking and shameful episode in history. And, of course, there's still booing still erupts periodically.
Do you know who one of my favourite trolls is?
Who?
James Blunt.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't say no. It's the way he responds to trolls.
Yes, it's the way he responds to trolls.
I wouldn't call him a troll himself.
He sort of trolls them back, though, which I kind of love. Like someone once tweeted, is James Blunt gay? And he replies, suggest you ask my wife.
Or someone goes, are you gay? Just curious. And he retweets the latter. It's also good.
Someone tweeted, Noel Gallagher says songs about his own life would be more boring than James Blunt. To which James Blunt replies, for once, I agree with him. Someone else wrote, why does James Blunt have a million followers? He stopped being relevant in 2009. And he replies, 2006, actually.
What about the person who tweeted him and said, James Blunt is still moaning? And he retweets it going, oh, that's not actually me, that's her. Which is great.
God, people have a sense of humour. I love it.
What about the one who goes, OMFG, James Blunt's on the TV downstairs, can this day get any worse? And Blunt retweets it with going, coming upstairs now. Look, Yeah, like if everyone had the wit to do that.
And the energy.
And the energy. Like,
which I don't.
But if you're getting a lot of filthy day in, day out, you should be whatever, then it's a completely different scenario. I'm glad that people are off X now. So many people are off X now.
It's just a toilet. There's nothing left there.
It degraded so quickly, in shitified really fast.
100%.
And really thoroughly. So I don't know, because it's like, I think the thing is, like, because you and I are both on Instagram, right? But not every day. No. Every now and then, when you've got a bit of a sharp suit on, a bit of a classical concert, like,
or a
wistful moment on a jaunt overseas, you might post. But when your outfit matches the stairs that you're sitting on, but it is like, it would be a shame if there was no way of actually communicating with people that way. Like, I've had people come on and go, okay, you need to tell Jeremy about this situation where they, in England, they used to revive drowning people by blowing smoke up their ass, you know, like.
Exactly.
Right.
Much appreciated,
yeah,
Jules.
Yeah. You're welcome, because someone listened and found me on social media. So, you know, like the feedback can actually be really great. I know, Jez, I reckon we could get lost in a maze of why people troll and why it's so nasty and so on. But I just think, just for now, let's hold on to the James Blunt comebacks and good old Mike standing there. And I like to think of him in, maybe he's got like a sweatshirt on, a pair of shorts and some fuzzy socks at his front door, just really being forced to contemplate the way he is online and how that can come back to bite you pretty hard. All right, Jez, time for our picks.
Okay, I want to tell you about a Swedish musician. His name is Mattias Krantz, and he's well known for posting videos of his crazy ideas, and he's got his new project, right? So in the past, he's done things like pinned down spiders, extracted their webbing, and used it to make guitar string, which he then kind of plays the guitar.
Wow.
Using spider web strings.
Wow.
He's played his guitar with a guitar pick made of ice. And he says the slipperiness lets the pick glide on the string and produces a slightly different sound.
Golly.
And then he also reconfigured his piano so that each note plays a chord, like three different notes all at the same time. And it sounds incredible. So now, his latest project, he's gone to a fish market in South Korea, rescued an octopus, and taught it how to play the piano.
Stop. Are you serious?
So he says this, in theory, octopuses have incredible potential. They're as smart as a three-year-old.
Yeah.
They're amazing problem solvers, and each of their eight arms has its own mini brain. It's like having eight, yes, pianists in one body. So it took him 6 months, but what he did was he put this octopus, he took it home, put it into an aquarium, and gradually kind of befriended it, you know, offered it food. It took a bit of time for the octopus to accept food and that kind of thing. And then put a kind of piano keyboard underwater and discovered that the octopus couldn't quite press the key in the way we would press a finger onto a key. So he then attached a peg onto the key, which the octopus could grab onto, and by pulling it, could play the note. So he redesigned the keyboard, attached pegs to various notes, and would reward the octopus. This took ages, by the way. Reward the octopus for every time it played a note correctly when it was directed to. So he would kind of wiggle the key and the octopus would go and play that key. Anyway, I want to play you the duet that they've learned to play together.
Oh, my gosh. The octopus and
The octopus and Mattias Krantz. Here they are playing a little duet after 6 months of training and practice.
Let's play, Taco. I'm so happy with this result, but it was a very complicated problem.
That's amazing.
Isn't it unreal?
I don't think that octopus is going to personally be holding any piano recitals on its own.
No, but it's...
But that's incredible.
Yeah. Very cool.
That's incredible.
Do you know the octopus's name is Taco?
Taco.
Short for takoyaki.
Oh.
Which is a type of Japanese octopus fritter.
Yeah.
Which it's is like, delicious.
You don't hit these notes, Taco. May I remind you? You'll oh, that's a brilliant story.
Covered in mayonnaise and spring onions.
The untapped potential of the octopus. I love that. Well, actually, I've got a weirdly related one. It's not really related. It's food.
Great food. I'm here for it.
It's food subscription. Remember how I said we were talking about subscriptions?
Oh, yeah. You had random food rolling up at your doorstep.
Yeah, okay. Not alone.
You accidentally signed up.
I accidentally signed up because the only way you could look at the meals was to put in all your details, including your credit card information. Bow, and you look at the meals and bing. You've got a HelloFresh delivery on your front porch. But now the consumer watchdog is taking them on, HelloFresh and YouFoods, for allegedly misleading consumers, claiming they used what's known as a subscription trap.
Aha! We were talking about this.
We were talking about this. I thought I was stupid. My kids have certainly leaned to that interpretation. So the ACCC says these services broke consumer law by telling customers they could easily cancel subscriptions via online accounts when this wasn't the case. And it was hard for them. They had to call up and speak with a customer service representative. And they required customers to hand over payment details before viewing the full menu, but told customers they wouldn't be charged unless they selected meals from the menu. Maybe I did that. But I was expecting to check out at some point. I was just looking at the ones I liked. Anyway, they only gave me those the first week. The next week they just chose a bunch for me. It went on for about 3 weeks.
It shouldn't be that easy to accidentally subscribe to something.
Right.
In your defense.
Thank you for defending me. Well, anyway, I'm not alone. You know, in New Zealand, HelloFresh was fined New Zealand dollars, $845,000. for misleading consumers. And it was for cold calling former customers under the guise of getting feedback. But instead they were trying to get people to restart orders with discount vouchers without being clear subscription would be restarted on your front porch the next that wow. weekend would arrive a box. So hello, fellow sufferers. but can I...
I was looking forward to being invited around for soup, Jules.
Yeah. But can I stand up with my very quick pick?
Oh, yeah, go.
Not octopus, but dolphins.
Oh, no.
So there's a new study, Jez, out about dolphins, and they found that dolphins with strong friendships age more slowly than those who are more solitary, and it's the quality of your connections rather than the quantity. They've been studying male bottlenose dolphins off Monkey Mia in Shark Bay, WA. And they've been studying them for 40 years. So it's a great longitudinal study. They can recognize more than 1,000 individuals in there. And you look at the ones that are same chronological age, the one with closer social bonds is the one that's aging slower compared to the one that has fewer social bonds. So this explains why my son says you look like 25. It's the quality of your friendships.
Amazing. Jules, you're causing me to age backwards. I love it.
You're welcome.
Hey, thank you to all our listeners too. We love hearing from you. We love making the show for you.
Yeah.
And we are so excited when we come in to record every Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's like our highlight.
Look forward to doing it all again in 2026. Stay in touch. Enjoy the break. See you soon.